Welcome to the One Where We Watch Friends podcast. This is a podcast all about the sitcom Friends. We are going to rewatch each episode one by one and dive into the details. I am one of your hosts, Jim, and I have been watching Friends since 1995. And joining me is my co-host, Lindsay.
Co-host Lindsay slash wife Lindsay.
I should have mentioned that, but hey, I didn't want to dive into the personal too much at the beginning here.
So I've been watching Friends since 1994 when it first came out.
So you saw it when it first debuted.
I saw the very first episode and watched them all first run.
So I was in college when Friends first ran. You know, when you're in college, you're kind of busy. You're always going out. Your social calendar's always busy. So I discovered it in late 1995 in the dorm rooms with some friends. So it would have been the second season when I discovered Friends. And then since then, I've gone back and rewatched them several times.
Do you remember when we were dating and Target had like a big sale and you went and bought all the seasons on DVD? What a big deal that was.
That was Black Friday.
To be able to have every episode of every season on DVD anytime we wanted to watch it.
And who would have known that 15 years later that yeah. would come in handy when we start a podcast based on the 30th anniversary of Friends? Can you believe that the show debuted 30 years ago?
No, that is really hard for me to wrap my brain around. I talk a lot in our other podcast, Children of the 80s, about how quickly life can go by.
And it sure did.
And it sure did.
30 years.
So I remember the summer leading into the fall TV schedule, seeing commercials for Friends. And I cannot find this commercial now out there on the interwebs. So I'm wondering, did I totally hallucinate this?
I'm sure you didn't hallucinate it, but it's possible that your brain has distorted the memories of it at some point.
Okay, well, I'm going to share what I remember. I'm assuming this won't ring a bell with you if you weren't really watching a lot of TV in 1994. I was 15, so I was watching a lot of TV. But leading into the fall schedule, the way they promoted Friends, they did these little short commercials, and I don't remember seeing any like faces. Not that we would have really known the actors, but they would say, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. Coming this fall.
Friends.
Friends.
Maybe I remember that. I'm not positive. I've heard you tell this story so many times in my life, though, that it's almost like I saw it myself.
So here's what's scary. I don't remember that I've ever shared that with you.
You have. All right, so let's jump in here and let's briefly describe the format of our future episodes, because this is essentially a prologue of what is to come. Mm-hmm. So in future episodes, we're going to do an episode recap. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive. We're going to kind of do scene-by-scene breakdowns, best gags and humor and that kind of thing, how it fit in with the culture. We'll have a fun segment where we will each pick our best line or favorite quote from the episode. We'll talk about maybe who won the episode, possibly give some trivia if we really want to deep dive into that.
I love it.
And then maybe talk about some of the fashion, some of the music that we're in each episode. And then finally, we'll ask questions. We'll have maybe some of our listeners send in questions, because this is going to be obvious what we'll be doing next, right? We'll be watching the next episode of Friends so listeners can play along.
So who are we asking the questions to?
We will.
You got a Ouija board over there?
We will share listener emails or tweets or comments on Facebook or whatever, asking a question about the show, a hot take, or we can respond to whatever they have to say. We can run polls, have poll results, and talk about favorite characters for each episode or favorite moments or whatever.
I thought we were going to try to reach Matthew Perry.
No, we're not going to try to reach Matthew Perry, unfortunately. We'll also rate each episode and talk about where it ranks in the season or the overall series, and then we'll preview the next episode. So how does that format sound to you?
Sounds good to me. What originally drew you to Friends?
Honestly, it was walking into a dorm room and a friend going, have you seen this show? It's on right now. And I immediately connected with Chandler. and his sarcasm. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but I can be sarcastic sometimes.
A little bit.
And so I immediately, like the first line Chandler spoke, I'm like, that's my guy. I'm going to start watching this show.
I think I was drawn to it because I was 15. I didn't have a whole lot of freedom. And I was watching then a TV show with these young 20-somethings who had all the freedom in the world. And I thought, how cool. They're beautiful. They have a cool apartment. Their fashion, I loved it all. And I think that's what really drew me to it, because that's what I aspire to be. And then by the time the show went off the air, they were then heading into the next phase of their lives, and I was stepping into
their phase.
Yeah,
right. Whereas I'm a little bit closer to their age. They're a few years older than me, about 3 to 4 years older than me. So I was quickly coming into into their lives. All right, so do you want to talk about a little bit of the history of the show and how it came to be about and why NBC needed this so badly?
Did they?
They did.
I didn't know that.
So NBC dominated the ratings in the late 80s. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, of course, because of the Cosby Show.
Right, so the Cosby Show and Family Ties, they had must-see TV on Thursdays, right? Cheers, Night Court, The Golden Girls, Miami Vice. So beginning in 85, the season of 85-86, NBC had 5 of the top 10 rated shows. And after that, it would just continue to grow. The next year, they had the 3 top rated shows and the number 5 rated show. The following year, they had the top 4 rated shows and 6 of the top 10. But as the 90s came about, some of those shows were getting older. They were getting stale, right? The Cosby Show, Family Ties went off the air. The Cosby Show was getting old and stale. Cheers was still kind of holding its ground, but it was getting a little bit old. When you get into your 10th, 11th season,
it starts to get a little bit old.
It is hard to keep it fresh. And so NBC was struggling. Only Seinfeld and Frasier were in the top 10 in the ratings the year before Friends debuted. And so NBC needed Friends to be a hit. They needed more than Seinfeld and Frasier. Along with that came a little show called ER on Thursday nights. And so that also helped. But it was really Friends, the creation of Friends and ER debuting in the same season, which really bumped NBC back up to the top. Friends was created by David Crane and Marta Kaufman.
So the idea for the show was born from their own experiences as young adults in New York City during their 20s and 30s. Kaufman and Crane, both seasoned writers, had previously worked together on other TV projects like Dream On, but they wanted to create a show that captured the social dynamics of a close-knit group of friends navigating life together.
They pitched the idea originally titled, now did you know this? Originally titled Insomnia Cafe to NBC.
Well, I'm glad that didn't stick because I'm not sure that works.
No, I don't think it works. So the network was immediately interested, but after some fine-tuning with input from executive producer Kevin S. Bright, the show's tone and focus shifted slightly. The concept of the group hanging out at a coffee shop named Central Perk became central to the show. They wanted to create a series that blended comedy with relatable, sometimes heartfelt moments about love, work, and relationships.
By the time it hit TV in 1994, the name had changed several times from Insomnia Cafe to Friends Like Us, 6 of 1, and finally Friends.
I remember the Friends Like Us. What? I don't know why.
How would you remember that?
I don't know, but that sounds familiar. But that they eventually would go with Friends, which was the right call. Insomnia Cafe and 6 of 1, those would have been horrible
names. 6 of 1. I don't understand. 6 of 1, what, half a dozen of another? Like, what? I don't get that.
Or 6 friends of 1 family. I don't know.
So do you think that the Friends Like Us had the tagline, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose?
That could be
yep.
Why you can't find it. All right, let's talk about casting for a moment. What do you say?
I love it.
So it was one of the most critical elements of the show's development. The creators were looking for actors who could embody not only the distinct personalities of the 6 main characters, but also have undeniable chemistry as an ensemble. And so did you know that David Schwimmer was the first actor cast on the show?
I think I've heard that.
So he had previously worked in TV and theater, but he had become frustrated with Hollywood. Crane and Kaufman had worked with him on a previous show, Monty, and wrote the role of Ross specifically with him in mind.
Do you know why I think I remember that? Because he is my least favorite character, and he's my least favorite actor. So I think really? That sticks out to me.
Oh, wow. So him and Rachel really made the show go, though, eventually.
We needed him, but I never liked him. Jennifer Aniston, before Friends, had struggled to find success in Hollywood. She starred in a few failed sitcoms, including Muddling Through and Ferris Bueller. So I guess there was a Ferris Bueller TV show.
That's what
show.
I was going to ask you. Did you know that?
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yes, there was a Ferris Bueller TV show.
In fact, she had already filmed several episodes of Muddling Through when she auditioned for her Friends role. The producers were so impressed with her as Rachel that they risked casting her despite her commitments. Thankfully, Muddling Through was canceled, and Aniston was able to fully commit to Friends.
Courtney Cox was already somewhat established in Hollywood before Friends. She was best known for her recurring role as Alex Keaton's girlfriend in Family Ties.
Yeah, I remember that.
And her part in Bruce Springsteen's music video for Dancing in the Dark, you know, when he pulled her up on stage and they were dancing. Initially, she had auditioned for the role of Rachel, but the creators felt she was a better fit for the more grounded character of Monica.
Lisa Kudrow was already cast in Mad About You as Ursula Buffet, the quirky waitress, before landing the role of Phoebe. Did you ever watch Mad About You?
I did.
Yes, so you remember the character, the waitress,
yes,
Ursula.
Yes, she was real dingy.
Because of this, Friends later made the decision to make Ursula and Phoebe twins to explain Kudrow's presence in both shows. Kudrow's eccentric and offbeat sense of humor made her a perfect fit for Phoebe, who brought a sense of quirky unpredictability to the group.
Before Friends, Matt LeBlanc was known mostly for small roles, including a recurring part on Married with Children and its spinoff, Top of the Heap. He was a relative newcomer with a few commercials and guest spots on his resume. LeBlanc's portrayal of the dim but lovable Joey was a breakout for him, and he became one of the most beloved characters.
Matthew Perry was involved in another TV pilot called LAX 2194. What? Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
A futuristic baggage handler comedy when he auditioned for Friends. That doesn't just roll off the tongue very easily.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it was only a pilot, and obviously it didn't get picked up.
So Perry's dry wit and natural comedic timing made Chandler's sarcasm an instant hit with audiences.
Let's talk a little bit about the people that did not get cast for Friends.
Okay, bring it on.
So these are the people that auditioned for Rachel Green. Tia Leone. She was the first choice for Rachel Green, but she turned down the role to star in another sitcom, The Naked Truth, which ended up being short-lived.
I hadn't thought about Tia since like 1995.
Well, there you go. I think she may have made a mistake. Elizabeth Berkley, known for her role in Saved by the Bell and Showgirls, auditioned for the part of Rachel, but didn't make the final cut.
Thank goodness. That would have, I cannot even imagine.
No. Jane Krakowski, the future 30 Rock star, also auditioned for the role of Rachel, but didn't get it.
Wasn't she on Ally McBeal?
Yes. And then finally, this is going to blow your mind, Lisa Welchel, known for her role on The Facts of Life as Blair, was considered for the part of Rachel, but ultimately didn't make it.
Yeah, I cannot.
I think she was a little too old. I think, so most of the Friends actors are, I would say, 3 to 4 to maybe 5 years older than me. Lisa Welch was like 10 years older than me. So I feel like because she had been on Facts of Life for so many years, for so long, she would have been looked at as being too old for the role.
Well, and I feel like her real life beliefs would have limited what Rachel could have gone on and done. So I don't know.
It wouldn't have worked.
But did you know Monica Geller, so ended up obviously going to Courtney Cox, but did you know Nancy McKeon, also best known for her role on The Facts of Life, She came very close to being cast as Monica. When the final decision was made between her and Courtney Cox, the producers felt that Cox's energy was a better fit for Monica's more neurotic personality. Yeah, I feel like Nancy McKeon might be a little too laid back.
Yeah. Well, she could be a little intense in Facts of Life, but that would have been weird to have both her and Blair Friends.
And then Leah Remini, who later became famous for The King of Queens, auditioned for Monica. She recalled auditioning for the part, but ultimately losing out to Courtney Cox. Interestingly, she later guest starred on Friends as a pregnant woman in the first
season. I remember that episode.
And then Jamie Gertz, a star of Less Than Zero and The Lost Boys, was also considered for Monica. I can kind of see she could have done it.
Yeah, but. And she would go on to do some sitcom work in the early 2000s. So for the role of Phoebe Buffay, Kathy Griffin.
No.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. She was in the running for Phoebe and got to the final round of auditions, but the producers felt that Lisa Kudrow's quirky, understated performance was a better fit, and the producers were correct. Jane Lynch. She may have fit in okay. She may have done a good job.
Wait, I'm sorry. Old Lady Jane Lynch?
Yes. She wasn't old in 1994.
Old Lady Jane Lynch would have not worked.
We are 30 years later. So before gaining fame with Glee, Jane Lynch was also considered for Phoebe. Obviously, she would go on to other things. And then Ellen DeGeneres was reportedly approached for the role of Phoebe, but she declined it.
Wow, know that. She went on and obviously did her own thing.
Yeah, she did her own thing. Mm-hmm.
These actors are so associated with these roles that I can't picture anybody else doing them.
Right. So why don't you tell us who auditioned for Joey?
Joey Tribbiani. Vince Vaughn auditioned for the role of Joey. I don't know. Maybe. I might see that.
Yeah, I could see it.
Obviously, Vaughn later became a star in comedies like Swingers and The Wedding Crashers.
So,
but really, I mean, Matt LeBlanc is Joey.
Matt LeBlanc is Joey. But Vince Vaughn, he would have been fine. Here's what's funny. Vince Vaughn's best friend, or one of his best friends, Jon Favreau, auditioned for the part of Chandler. He was actually offered the role of Chandler, but turned it down. Ironically enough, he would later become Monica's boyfriend as a guest star as Pete Becker.
So I have to wonder, if he had have been Chandler Bing, would we have gone on and had Elf and The Mandalorian and all the other things that he's done?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a fantastic question. Probably not. Yeah, I mean, he turned it down for a reason.
I guess it all worked out, right?
Craig Burko. He was a frontrunner for Chandler.
I don't know him.
And had close ties to the creators of the show, but ultimately he didn't get the part. He later admitted that turning down Friends was a big regret in his career.
Ross Geller. I cannot picture Ross being anybody but David Schwimmer. But did you know, Eric McCormick auditioned for the role of Ross Geller. So he went on, obviously, and he got the role of Will in Will and Grace. So I can't picture Ross Geller being anybody but David Schwimmer. I can't picture Will being anybody but Eric McCormick. So
right.
He auditioned multiple times for the role of Ross.
They were obviously interested in him, which is weird since they had created the role for David Schwimmer. So why would they audition Eric McCormick multiple times?
I don't know.
For that. Maybe David Schwimmer was hesitant.
So I'm glad it all worked
out. Yeah, no, I'm glad it all worked out because I believe that they had the perfect cast. And that's why the show worked so well. They were chosen for their chemistry along with their distinct personalities. And so that's why I think that they got the perfect cast. And everybody who turned it down should have turned it down. But it sure is interesting to think what a show would have looked like with Blair and Joe along with Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau.
Listen, they're all great in their own right, but I just can't picture them all meshing together.
So, everything that I found online said that Friends had moderate success in the first season, but was not initially a massive hit. Yet it still finished number 8 in the Nielsen ratings for television in 1994. So it had to be a bigger hit than what I'm reading, but it really started to build momentum, and that it was praised by the critics for its ensemble cast and its fresh take on young adult relationships, which was different from other shows at the time.
Right.
But then it shifted, right?
Things shifted. By season two, Friends exploded in popularity and became part of the zeitgeist. I don't know about you, if you had the Ross Geller haircut, but I had...
the Rachel haircut.
I had the Rachel haircut, and I did not have the hair to pull off that style, but...
Everybody had to have the Rachel.
But I had it.
So... That was what made Friends part of the zeitgeist, right? They began to influence culture. And so people wanted the Rachel haircut. People wanted to be like Friends. They wanted to have a group of friends that they hung out with
that was
at a coffee
they
shop.
They were like...
Coffee shops exploded, if you
sure
think about
did.
It.
They did. They really did.
And so Friends had a big, big influence on the culture of this day.
Do you think that Friends... played a part in coffee shops taking off? Because by the time I got to college, that's what we did. That's what my friends and I did.
Absolutely.
We hung out at coffee shops.
Yes. After I got out of college, that's what some of my me and a certain group of friends would do, was hang out at a coffee shop and listen to jazz music.
That's crazy to me to think about that it all originated with Friends.
Right. NBC promoted Friends very heavily. You obviously remember the... You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. I mean, they promoted the heck out of that show. And so, therefore, it exploded. It changed the culture, really.
I can't imagine, like, going back and what would have happened culturally if we had have never had Friends.
Right. Yeah, you don't know. So, here's the interesting thing. Whenever there's a show that's successful... it spawns off other show-type ideas, right?
Right.
So, Friends influenced other sitcoms because it portrayed a group dynamic and everyday struggles of young adults, but it did it in kind of a comedic light, right? And some of the shows that were inspired by Friends, How I Met Your Mother.
Ooh.
Right? Cougar Town, which also starred Courtney Cox.
I never watched Cougar Town, and I'm kind of wondering if I need to go back and watch it. Because I've always heard good things about it. But.
Right. And so Friends not only was a massive hit, but was a massive influence on not just the culture as well, but also other shows.
Okay, let's go ahead and look ahead at what we can expect from our next episode.
We will be discussing the pilot or episode one, which is called The One Where Monica Gets a Roommate. And this is the episode that introduces us to all the characters. And Rachel makes a spectacular introduction.
Yes, she does.
Her entrance.
So we'll get to talk about Ross and Rachel's famous first meeting. And I look forward to that.
Yeah, that should be fun. So how can our listeners engage?
I think it would be fun if listeners wanted to rewatch Friends along with us. I think that would be a great way to interact with everybody.
Yes. Each episode, we will tell you, hey, we're going to watch the next episode. It's called this, in case you need to go search for it. There may be some double episodes where maybe we have to double up, and we will let you know that as well. But I think it would be great if you, the listener, could watch ahead of time, send in something, tweet out something, whatever it is you want to let us know, and we will discuss it on
air. I would love to hear what people's favorite moments were as we go along in each episode. So they can always reach out to us on social media. We have all the staples set up. We're on X, Instagram, Threads, Facebook.
Our handle is the one where we watch Friends podcast. It is @Friends_rewatch. You can also reach us on email.
Which, by the way, wasn't a thing when Friends started.
You can also reach us on email, the one where we watch Friends pod @gmail.com. That is a mouthful and a lot to type in. You may just want to reach out on social media. But if you got something long that you really want to send, the one where we watch Friends pod @gmail.com.
And then, of course, we would appreciate if you just go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and rate, and review the podcast, and just know it will get better as we go along.
Thank you for tuning in to this first episode, this prologue that we put together describing what the podcast is going to be like and what it's going to be about. We hope that you'll join us for that first episode of Friends. This is going to be real exciting to go through it, discover new insights, maybe see stuff that we forgot about.
Could we be any more excited for next week?
Until then, I'm Jim.
And I'm Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.